Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Football on Off the Ball.
All you want to do is just play football, and it's the greatest joy in the world. And then I sometimes get caught up in thinking it's a job.
Of course.
It is a job, but it's really not. It's a game of football at the end of the day, and it's when I'm sitting there and after a bad result or whatever, and then you're like, you know what, this is supposed to be fun.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Well, a very good morning to you. You're welcome along. Tom Cundred is going to give us the view from Portugal at 8:05. Will Genia is going to join us from down under. I think he's down under at 8:35. He might be in this part of the world. Who knows?
Okay,
Andrew Conway.
Japan.
He's in Japan. Andrew Conway is going to join us at 9 o'clock. That's the voice of Dara Smith here to take his lap of honour. Good morning, Dara.
How's it going?
The WhatsApp group was fizzing last night. I'm like, oh, Dara never sends stuff in this late.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa, look what just happened.
I was right.
Andy Farrell's listening to the Green 15.
Yeah, do you think so? I think so. Vindication.
Explain to new viewers who are like, who's that fella?
Yeah, so yesterday we had a Green 15.
We did.
I predicted the Ireland team to face Australia this weekend. And I think it's fair to say, ridiculed by the two U's for putting Sam Prendergast at 10. Lo and behold, that's the way it's going.
In all the papers this morning...
So apologies are probably due from the 2 years, I think.
Apology accepted. Andrew Porter 1, Dan Sheehan 2, Tadhg Furlong 3, James Ryan 4, Tadhg Byrne 5, Ryan Baird 6, Caelan Dara 7, Jack Conan 8. Did you have that?
Not exactly. Oh, not far, okay. Off. Not far off. All right. Yeah, keep going there. Yeah. Just two more positions.
Your little random name selector didn't come up with that, did it? What was wrong with you? Your forwards? What did you?
I had Philly Beatham. I think I had the rest right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Gibson Park 9, Sam Prendergast 10, you had. Wow. You James Lowe 11, Stuart McCluskey 12, Robbie Henshaw's 13, you had Tom Farrell.
I had Tom Farrell, yeah.
Tommy O'Brien 14, and Mack Hansen is back at 15, is what they're saying. Straight in, no subs, no minutes for him.
No.
I mean, I do like Mack Hansen, I think he's brilliant.
Yeah, good to see him back.
This will be his first start for Ireland at fullback.
Is it, yeah? He's played there a good bit for Connacht, but yeah. That'll be interesting. I thought they might go Jimmy O'Brien, but throwing him straight in the deep end.
And they've got Bundy on the bench.
Yeah.
Crowley, Bundy, Craig Casey. Your boy Nick Timoney is on the bench. Your other boy, Cian Prendergast, also on the bench.
I like the team. Now, as often can be the case with these teams that are put out the night before they're actually announced, it can be slightly different. So we'll wait and see if there's any changes, but...
2 o'clock today.
2 o'clock today, yeah. I'll be at the presser, so we'll have stuff tomorrow from it.
Can you just confirm for me that you are indeed a watcher of Ireland's Green 15? That's your first question.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we say anything else, Andy.
Should we explain? Maybe you could zoom me in the next time so I actually get. Yeah.
Maybe that's what's already happened. I just haven't told you.
All right.
Should we explain where we are?
Yeah, we got front row seats to watch Jared do his thing.
What?
It's nice where we are.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's best not to let it pass on to the end, and then I was like, what is it? Welcome to our new studio, everybody. Yeah.
Okay. It was a WhatsApp of two halves from me last night, you know, because we got the celebration of this boy here calling Prendo. But the Munster contingents in the WhatsApp
unhappy.
Groups, oh my God.
Oh, unhappy.
I mean, it's flying left and right. Oh, yeah, man. Oh, my God. It's like,
wouldn't have thought that.
But what's the point of all this now? Thought they were going to give Crowley the series. You know, they gave Prendergast Six Nations. Thought they were going to give Crowley the November series. And there's a lot of concern about it. A lot of concern. Now, I was on to other people about it. Not neutrals, like Leinster supporters. Said, no, there's no problem here. Give Crowley two. Give Prendergast two.
Oh, that's not what's going to happen, though.
Well, a man of renown. Actually, a pint that. Two and two, no problem.
Well, You have to tell us who the man of renown is, but you can't now, obviously, because you'd be betraying confidences.
Yeah, but it's a great source, you know?
A great source.
Well, a source within the camp.
No, not just an opinion. Camp, but
that's not a source. That's just an
opinion. No, a former professional rugby player. I mean, I wouldn't disregard Thatcher by any stretch of the imagination.
You're not actually giving him two, because you didn't give him two. You took him off after 51 minutes.
Well, it's a start, isn't it? Sure, Prendo could be gone after 50 minutes against Australia. It's more about the start, isn't it? I mean, it's who's whirling the number 10 is what we lose our minds over, not the 21.
Maybe they have a plan now that they very much see themselves as having two 10s and both play as big a role as the other. And we're just too simplistic about the whole thing.
Possibly, yeah. But I had settled in for a Crowley November, I have to say.
I just thought that the two of them played against each other a couple of weeks ago and one of them played better than the other.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then, so I'm thinking, Crowley's two performances, right? And there is an obsession with 10. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
So it's just a symbol of the team. It's not the team. And against New Zealand, he was okay. He had his moments, a bit like the team. And against Japan, scores a nice try.
Yeah.
Nails a couple of kicks. He's okay. He's fine, but he gets taken off early enough in the second half. It's not egregious, the performance, either of them.
No.
They're not spectacular, but neither of Ireland. So I was surprised by it. I really thought they'd give him Australia, and I thought they'd give him South Africa with Prendergast off the bench. And then maybe in the Six Nations, they revisit the conversation. So I'm very surprised.
Yeah, I think they were quite happy with Sam Prendergast off the bench against Japan, and look, it's Japan, but
it's Japan. There's no. It's Japan. You can't be reading too much into that.
What, Prendergast's performance?
Yeah, it was fine.
And they were tiring. Now he came on and he controlled it better than.
But
it was
fine. His performance the previous week when he came off the bench against New Zealand wasn't very good.
No.
He's not been dropped. That's not what's happened here. This was probably the plan from the very start, to give Crowley a couple of games.
And then who starts against South Africa?
Crowley. I guarantee. Don't worry, Munster fans.
Why?
I think it's.
Why do you think so?
I think they see Crowley as a starting 10, but they definitely see Prendergast on a certain level that.
So they're picking their entire full team for the game against Australia except a 10. This is the best available selection to them. No risks taken anywhere else in that selection that they've leaked to the rugby correspondents. Now, whether or not. It's 100% accurate. There is nobody in that. Maybe some of the bench, you're like, okay, they're coming into the team and they may be future starters or they may be now guaranteed their place in the match day, but they're not at the moment. Like, it's that's your strongest 15, except a 10 for this game.
Do you think he is dropped in? Well, because he's not. He didn't perform bad. There's no reason to drop him. So it would be bizarre.
Yeah. I just thought, like, if this was the plan to play him against, say, not the might, but the strength of New Zealand, and then against the Japan side that you should be beating every day, it's just an odd two games to play him no matter what. So we'll play him in this game, we'll be tight, in this game where we're favourites, and we're not going to play him against Australia, regardless of how well he plays in those first two games. That would seem like an unusual plan. I thought they would have picked it on merit. So I actually think, I thought it was picked on form. I thought, oh, he's not content with Crowley's performances. So he's bringing Prendergast back in. That's the way I read it.
Do you not think it's forward thinking that they have two tens on the go now?
Look,
possibly, definitely. Yeah. Like, and you know what the thing is? I don't know if we'll ever be told that really properly, because he's going. Andy Farrell is always going to say, "I have two very talented tens." He's going to constantly say that, even if he picks Prendergast for the next two games and all of the Six Nations, he's still going to verbally give Crowley his flowers. But in terms of actually picking the boy,
well, that's
the problem.
Proof is in the pudding, right?
Yeah,
and I thought that Crowley had the 10 spot for now.
I have a feeling that there's a slightly bigger grav for Prendergast from Farrell.
Yeah, well, this would be an indication of that, right?
Slightly, yeah. I don't think it's 50-50 in the eyes of the head coach.
That's a very existential about it.
Well, we'll see. You're picking your full team against. I thought they were going to pick the full team here to go back to back. Maybe they're managing minutes. Maybe. I don't know. We shall see. 0879-180-180 is the WhatsApp number. If you're a Munster fan, we'd love to hear from you this morning. If you're in Colin's WhatsApp app groups, share with us the messages. We won't censor them, we promise. Will we talk about Ronaldo?
Yeah.
Excellent work from the back of the tabloids this morning. Picture of Ronaldo looking in. Can you see his face? There you go. Yeah. Picture of Ronaldo looking in the door at the press conference yesterday.
He knew what he was doing then.
He is Ronnie. I don't know. Does he know he's Ronnie? I guess he does. Is he going to kill us with an axe like Jack Nicholson? Yes, he will. What's your prediction for tonight?
Nil all.
All the way through, even in the 94th minute, you're this not going to like splinter your arse and be like, ah, it's going to be... No. Right.
I, you know what? My prediction is so dependent on something that we don't know yet, and we won't know by the time this show's out. The other game, Hungary-Armenia. It's going to impact the players because that's 7:30 that'll finish up. So they'll be coming out to the pitch. Catherine Connolly will make her debut, I imagine.
Would she do Kiwi Uppies? She's doing them again yesterday.
That, when she was unveiled the other day, she should have done Kiwi Uppies like when a big signing joins Real Madrid. So she'll be out, she'll be shaking hands. The players will know by that stage. Obviously the message will be, ignore what's happened, concentrate on Portugal. But I'm going to continue on my hope from yesterday. Hope is not a tactic, baby. It's not a tactic, but it's in the heart, right? That's the heart of the fans. What they'll be doing, the players, hopefully, Ger, is playing some sort of the system that we discussed yesterday. You know, so the papers, Irish Independent this morning, have it very similar to what we picked yesterday, with the exception of no Finazaz or Adamida and an extra defender at the back.
It's but five.
Similar wingers, the two boys out wide, Cullen and Taylor.
Are two fullbacks playing as forwards in Ogbeni and Festi.
Well, the fullbacks will be...
Two actual fullbacks.
O'Brien
Coleman.
And Scales, won't they?
Coleman.
Well, Coleman not playing in the middle of the three.
They played O'Brien as the third centre-back and they played Coleman as the right wing-back.
Sorry, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he was brilliant in that game. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. So okay. So Coleman.
Technically, you could say we'll have six fullbacks on the pitch.
Yeah. And that's fine. That's actually fine.
Some of our greatest performances have been when we've been a team of fullbacks.
So if you pick more fullbacks than not, to put it in simple terms, what are you negating there? I suppose you're trying to get rid of the midfield. How do you make centre mid not an equation in a game against Portugal, who were festooned with quality in that area of the pitch? You keep it away from that area. And the other thing about it is, Portugal don't always maintain possession. They might let us have the ball a bit here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Portugal knows they're going to win, know they're going to win the group. And so, are they going to be incredibly motivated? Go on.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed that they've won the group yet, just yet.
More motivated.
Still stuff to play for.
On paper than they were in 2021 in the draw in Dublin.
Well, they picked a B team that night.
It wasn't as strong as it's going to be tonight, for sure. For sure. And they're probably a better side now, 4 years on, than they were then.
Give us your predictions in the YouTube stream there, youtube.com/offtheball.
Yeah. Do we have Ronaldo?
We do have Ronaldo, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Let's hear that.
Well, if I see him around, of course, he was a guy that I play so many years together. I have a very good relationship with him. Not only him, but some Irish people, I have some relations. And it's good. It's always good to be back here. The people is always nice with me. So I repeat, I hope they don't boo again against me tomorrow. I think he tried to play to take the pressure for the... Well, I think he tried to make pressure to the referee, because for sure he's a smart guy. He knows where they can push. I'm in a game so many years, I know how the coach thinking and how they try to make pressure, or they take away the pressure from their players. It's normal, because they know if they lost tomorrow, they are out. So they try to make things around the game to try, you know, to do things. But as I said before, we have to be prepared for a tough game. I think will be very similar that the game that they play in Lisbon. And they have the chance, you know, they are a good team. So we are prepared. I think Portugal we're going to do a good game and we're going to win the match. Tough, very tough game. They're going to try hard, like us. But we know, so if we get points, we are in World Cup. So the Irish, they need win, they need other results, and they need the last games. But they have chance. We have to respect that. And this kind of games, you know, this culture of national teams, they are tough. They are very difficult to play against them. The fans will be with them. We know and we are prepared that tomorrow will be a very, very, very tough game. But all the players, we are experienced. We passed so many things, this environment. We are prepared. Let's see what's going to happen tomorrow. And I wish that Portugal can win the match.
So he's talking two things. Will you say hello to John O'Shea was the first bit, and the second one was Hamer Helgrimsson has been saying that you refereed the game, not the referee, the first time around. What do you think of that?
Yeah.
What do you think of that? What do you think of them apples, Ronnie? He's like, you know, he's just playing some mind games.
I'm surprised he elaborated on Ireland in any way, shape or form.
That's the first time I've seen that clip. I think he's going to end up in management. So I've never thought that before. I thought he'd just be a brand ambassador for brand Ronnie. But actually, it sounds like somebody who's really into football.
There's a few quotes going around in Ronaldo's relationship with Ireland.
Yeah, I have many relationships. The boilerplate company and the taxation things, those things.
Well, I hadn't thought of those, but yeah.
Well, that's definitely a thing. In the past, it has been. His agent had a company registered here.
Yeah, because you mentioned the whole love of football. So he made his Real Madrid debut, although not officially, but the pre-season friendly debut against Shamrock Rovers in Tala. Played hurling when he was over that time. And his relationship, of course, with John O'Shea and Roy Keane. And Roy Keane talks about immediately falling in love with the guy when he played with him, the way he didn't with Wayne Rooney. There was a different relationship. With Ronaldo, he said there was an innocence to him and a purity as a young fella. And it was all stemmed from the fact, even though this guy was very vain and looked in the mirror the whole time, it was all that he was like. There was something about him that fundamentally he loved football. And that's why he loved him. And it's because you see him a billion dollars later and he's still talking about the game like that. I'm surprised. I'm surprised to hear him in any capacity. And I'm not being funny here when I say it, not talking about himself. Like he is talking like he is a senior leader in a team and he's talking about how his team will go about beating another side. And I haven't heard that from Ronaldo in a long time.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You know those cravings that hit you out of nowhere? Charred steak tacos, silky mushroom risotto, or a perfect summer salad. When the craving hits, CookUnity delivers. Made with real ingredients and no shortcuts. CookUnity was made for adventurous eaters. With 160-plus award-winning chefs curating an ever-expanding menu of small batch meals. Get ready-to-eat meals delivered directly to your door, all tailored to your lifestyle, dietary needs, and cravings. Their roster of Food Network alums, James Beard Award winners, and acclaimed restaurateurs balance bold flavors and nutrition in their handcrafted meals, which are freshly prepared, delivered to your door, and never frozen. Get what you're craving. Try the freshest, best-tasting meal delivery made by your favorite celebrity chefs. Go to cookunity.com/crave or enter code CRAVE before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's free premium meals for life at cookunity.com/crave.
What did you make of the Amorim a year on Bruno's role in the whole thing? Did you read those pieces? Bruno is one of the few. So Amorim has kept himself distant from the to increase his authority over those people who are basically the same ages in many cases. Except Bruno. Bruno's allowed to have whatever kind of conversations he wants with him and he'll seek him out. So it won't be Amorim going to him. Bruno will go and have those conversations. The type of stuff that maybe, I suppose what I'm saying here is that like there might be some cultural differences between how people express themselves and we don't understand it. And Ronaldo being a pouting prima donna on the pitch, everybody's like, well, it's just him expressing himself. He is expressive. You know, the hands go in Italy. There's things that we're like totally repressed. Yeah. We'll like badmouth you behind your back as opposed to ever fronting to you and saying, you know, I think maybe we could do a little bit better here. Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe culturally he's been a leader the whole time. This fella's a cod. He's not a cod.
Like, obviously.
Ronaldo, not a cod.
Obviously, Ronaldo talks like that regularly. I'm sure he does it in Saudi Arabia too. It's just, I hadn't been exposed to that level of, I'm not saying it's humility by Ronaldo, just awareness of other people by Ronaldo in a while. But obviously, there's something about the guy that can bring people along other than the whole talent. Because if you, look, you have to tolerate the way he plays football these days, which must be infuriating as a teammate. And it's very hard to give out to him.
But
he'll get the ball in the shoot.
Yeah. He's just a goal scorer now. And he's still doing it at a level that is very high.
It's remarkable how much he's changed.
At international level.
Can you think of a player in any other sport that's changed their game as much as Ronaldo as the years went by? You know, this guy was an out-and-out winger, tricky winger, who would occasionally cross the ball in.
Not in football.
He wasn't that interested, necessarily, in the art of goal scoring.
Steph Curry. He's probably on that level, isn't he? Like, in terms of changing the game as we know it and adapting it to himself, like, he's on that level, I'd say. I think he doesn't help himself with certain things as well. Like the Piers Morgan interviews.
Yeah, like, look. And there's far more nefarious stuff as well about Ronaldo, but even just the softer things that we're sticking to here. Yeah, he definitely doesn't, yeah. But I just hadn't heard him like that in a while. The way he was talking like that.
What do you think is going to happen when he finishes playing?
I'd say, like, he himself is an institution. Like, he's a cultural landmark. So he goes beyond the sport, really. But I don't know if he has the extracurricular interest that David Beckham had, for instance. I don't know. If Ronaldo wanted to, I'm sure he could enter the world of acting, for example.
Oh yeah.
If he wanted.
Like a rock style type thing.
Whatever he wants to do. Like whatever he wants to do.
Part of the Marvel Universe.
Ronaldo up on the offer.
Yeah. But is it beyond the bounds of possibility that he ends up as the manager of Real Madrid?
I would have said
no until, like, I realise I'm...
Hearing that?
Well, just that there's...
Yeah, because he's 40, is he?
Yeah.
Right? If you think about it, like, he has no business still playing football.
No.
With the exception of winning the World Cup with Portugal. The guy's done it all.
Yeah.
So what's he doing playing? So, and you can say, oh, it's the money and all that, and he probably wanted to be the first billion-dollar footballer, and he is now. That's all fine. But you still have to have some capacity of motivation that goes way beyond the average 40-year-old.
I think he loves it, yeah. He just absolutely loves it.
There must be a passion for the game that goes way beyond, and maybe we'll see him. But I don't know, like, could he be a manager? His reputation would almost need to lessen to be a manager in terms of his profile. Because there is an art of humility when it comes to management. And I don't know if he'll do that. And if he does, maybe he won't be as ridiculously famous as he is now, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
To be a manager of a team.
Well, but, you know, I don't... Maybe he starts out somewhere, but maybe he just does what Zidane did and go in at Real and be like, yeah, okay, I'm going to drop you. I can drop you. I'm going to pick you. You guys know what you're doing. There you go. The Kenny Dalglish documentary. Have you seen the bit where... So it's out on Amazon Prime. Asked if Kapadia made it. He's very famous, obviously, for making Senna and Amy. There's a bit where they sign Graeme Souness in the middle of the season. I don't know if you're that far in just yet.
I got to the first European Cup final, yeah.
So then the next season, or as soon as I already signed for that one. So I think it's
Souness signed the same time as Dalglish from Middlesbrough.
No, Souness comes in the January.
Yeah, same season though.
Middle of the year. Okay, yeah. So Souness walks in and goes, yeah. They're naming the team. So what am I supposed to do? We just paid $330,000 for you and you're asking me what to do. Get out there. It's like, just, you know, it's the Martin O'Neill school of, well, you're professional footballers, you know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what Zidane did at Real Madrid for a while. Obviously he didn't win the league, won three European Cups.
Yeah, well, Zidane had a ridiculous cohort of players.
Real Madrid always have a ridiculous cohort of players.
He's just stepped away now for a few years. He's not that bothered if he gets another job or not. And, like, obviously Ronaldo will be able to do that. He'll be able to do whatever he wants for lifetimes ahead. So maybe he'll go in and out. But I'd say, I don't know, I get the impression from the outside looking in that he's more meticulous than Zidane when he talks about football. I don't know. Maybe he's not. The Dalglish thing, by the way, you know, I'd heard about this, how amazing Dalglish was and all that. And I realised I'd only seen real limited footage of him, but in Azeef Kapadia's documentary, he shows his coterie of goals. Jesus, he could score literally every type of goal. Like, there's the one step free kick he scores
yeah.
for Celtic.
Emi Buendia style.
Puts it into the top corner. and he's running the pitch and another goal. And then the Club Brugge 1978 European Cup final for Liverpool, he's studying the chances that Terry McDermott has when he's 1-on-1 with the goalkeeper. Keeper dives all the time. So Dalglish, with everyone would know this finish, does the dink that you see so often now, back in 78. So you talk about Ronaldo being a lover of the game, because Dalglish was a student while playing, and then translated that into being an unbelievable manager. When you think about it, when you talk about the great managers in football, is Dalglish in that conversation because he was such a great player too?
Potentially underrated.
Player manager at Liverpool and then manager at Blackburn.
I think maybe the fact that after that it doesn't go great.
No, it's Newcastle, isn't it?
You know, if he'd stopped managing at that point and never managed again, everybody would have gone. But like that Newcastle team weren't bad. To go back to tonight, if Ireland win, it'll be in spite of Hamer, not because of him, says Dunphy. The thing about Dublin match night is it forgives until it doesn't. The crowd at the Aviva is knowledgeable. They know when they're being sold a dream and when they're being sold a pup. If Ireland start brightly, if they show a bit of fight, the place will lift. The fans will get behind them. They always do. But if it turns into another sterile, possession-heavy, risk-averse performance, the murmurs will start. I can't see us being possession-heavy. Us being possession-heavy tonight. I can't see that happening.
I'd say maybe 60-40 in favour of the Portuguese. I think we'll have more of the ball than we think, though.
Ireland doesn't need structure, it needs spark. We've been building for 20 years, all the while the house keeps falling down. You can't talk your way to a result. You can't charm your way past Portugal. When Stephen Kenny was here, we at least had an idea. Play from the back, take risks, try to modernise. It didn't always work, but it was honest. It had soul. Now we're stuck.
You're riled up, though, isn't it? You're going to get you excited for the game, for some reason.
I've changed my mind. I think something good's going to happen.
You think?
Well, we've no choice. You've got to face the day either way, don't you? You may as well face it with a full heart.
Yep, you're dead right, yeah. I think 2-0 Portugal, though.
All right, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Derek.
Kill your dreams.
We said the same yesterday, didn't we? This strategy, you can't wait for the inevitable arrival of death.
No, there's no point worrying about something that hasn't happened.
Just have fun, enjoy the journey. Even if it gets spent. I don't know, like... Okay, let's role play this, right? Portugal score early, Ger.
Yeah.
Yeah, bit of role play. 5 minutes in. What do you think happens?
Portugal score early, 5 minutes in. Yeah. I think we...
What version of Ireland do we see then?
I think we battle back and have a period before halftime where it looks like we're getting back in the game. And then they hit us in the break and it's 2-0 at halftime. And then they play out the game 2-0. That's what I think happens if they score early.
Yeah.
Now, there's an alternative where they score early... And we get a 97-minute equaliser scramble in off someone's arse. Like, the sub you didn't... Johnny Kenny's arse.
Yeah. Do you know why I picked that...
Which would be great. You know?
I picked that early in the game, right? This is a question now, right? When's the last time we played a big country and they took the lead early? So when we played the Dutch and the French in the previous campaigns, remember those games?
Yeah.
They'd be real close at home. I honestly can't remember the last time a country of renown has taken the lead real early against us. I don't even
know. England was early enough, wasn't it?
It was nil all at half time, wasn't it?
Was it nil all?
I think it was that the Nathan Collins game. One at Wembley. Yeah, that was going fine until.
No, sorry, in the Aviva.
Oh.
Grealish and Rice scored.
Yeah.
Fairly early on.
You're right. Yeah, that was probably the last game. That was Hamer Hargrimson's, was it one of his first games in charge,
wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so, what's that, a couple of years ago. But we played, even at the end of Stephen Kenny's time, we played big countries. We kind of managed to hold them out for a while. We're kind of stubborn. There is a togetherness. Whatever version of the team we see, whatever version of these players go out into the pitch, there's a togetherness in the bigger games. It's the likes of Hungary where we concede early. But I don't know what the playbook is for Ireland if they go behind early against the big side.
Well, I think it's keep it tight. Is keep it tight and hope that we're going to get something that equates to a, you know, set piece, long throw. The long throw that isn't actually that long. Like, there's not that much difference from Ireland's perspective. So essentially tonight, more than likely, a draw will give us the opportunity to go to Hungary hoping for something. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're 1-0 down, whatever happens, don't go 2-0 down. And then the last 10 minutes, you can... mount your cavalry charge.
We could do Martin O'Neill on it, which is take off your midfield at half time.
Yeah, that always works.
There could be a cavalier approach if we go down.
this guy in the middle of their midfield, he's not world class at all.
Dermot says 2-0 to Portugal, as we haven't got the ability to score unless they get a man sent off, of course. Ronaldo must have been listening to how Shane Dowling changed his game. Mm. Might squeeze a few more years out of Ronaldo in goal, says Quirky on YouTube. The only question is when Portugal score. If they score early, it could be a massacre, says Care on YouTube. I don't know. I don't know. I'm holding tight that it won't be a massacre.
The atmosphere will drop as well in the Aviva, and then you kind of need that, don't you? This type of game.
I've kind of already moved on from the Hamer era. I think that there's no way back from, even if they do. It's hard to know, right? Maybe the FA will just decide. The news obviously happened last night that, assuming we qualify for the Euros, we're going to have all our home games at home, actually at home. And that there'll be everything up to a quarter final, there'll be games in Dublin. Tommy Martin is right, and persistence with O'Neill pays off for Northern Ireland. It's Michael O'Neill, got a massive contract, 5.5 years or something, when he came back the second time, lost 7 of his first 9 games, and now they're on the brink of qualifying as well. He's making the point that the same phenomenon dogs Republic of Ireland managers when any of our Celtic neighbours are doing well. The four peoples that once battled it out for the Carling Nations Cup represent perfect lab conditions for whataboutery. All four consist of small populations with broadly similar football styles and challenges. All are perpetual underdogs in the shadow of a big neighbour, and all like a pint and various fried foodstuffs. Sadly for Hamer, and it's in battle corner of the Celtic quadrangle, Celtic, the other three are doing just fine right now. Wales have only lost in close encounters with Belgium in their group and already have a playoff spot in the bag after winning their Nations League group. They have under Bellamy a clearly identifiable playing style in keeping with their manager's in-your-face persona. This week, Craig Bellamy was singing the praises of a friend of the show, Brian Barry Murphy, who has subsequently been linked with loads of jobs. Would we just go ahead and short-circuit the next couple of years and give Brian Barry Murphy the gig?
I don't know. He was... there's talk of him now with the Middlesbrough job.
Yeah.
Rob Edwards is gone.
Yeah, the Middlesbrough job is obviously a better job than Ireland, right?
Probably.
You have a very stable club.
Do you know what,
sir? That
depends. If in 24 hours' time we're talking about a remarkable Irish result, then suddenly forget your Middlesbroughs.
Well, if they beat Portugal and lose, 2-1 in stoppage time next week, Henry gets a new contract, right? Who says no to that?
If they qualify, I think
is there a way
will.
In which they don't qualify that he gets a new contract?
If they don't qualify, no, unless right. But I actually don't think this counts for that much. If they play phenomenally well in the next two games, Ireland, and don't qualify, maybe. But that's so subjective.
Yeah.
Even if the consensus out there is that was a great performance against Portugal and much improved against Hungary. Since the last time, but ultimately it didn't go Ireland's way. Is there enough in the Hamer tank to fill it up again?
I'm not sure.
Have you been impressed by anything specific he's done?
The first half of this year, I was flirting with the idea of being impressed when they beat Bulgaria consecutively. I thought people, have to realise, we've nothing to cheer about for years here, and we managed to put consecutive performances together. Maybe there's something here. I've never been downright taken aback by how good he is, but I also didn't get the furore at the start when he wasn't attending games.
Yeah.
I wasn't as fussed about other people because he explained his rationale all the time, so I wasn't that bothered. I think Hamer's been fine. He's been grand. And when he leaves, there'll be a shrug of the shoulders, and that's fairly justifiable, I'd say. And in 10 years' time, it'll be, geez, remember when he was in charge?
Yeah.
And what would we think about that time? Less tumultuous than Stephen Kenny, I would say. Maybe slightly more positive than the end of Martin O'Neill. Maybe. That it will fit in and around there. So I think for Hargrimsson to keep his job, if he wants to keep his job, that's the other thing. I'm not that sure he's...
Massively, wants to keep his job.
I'm not sure he's that massively pushing staying on. I think we have to qualify. I think even very, very good performances without qualifying, I'd say he'll go. Because his contract's out anyway. This shouldn't cost the FAI that much. Just let it run it out. So it's amazing. This time next week, Hargrimsson could be gone.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying get Brian Murphy in.
Well, if he was open to the idea of Middlesbrough,
I mean, we'd need to convince him.
He has an open mind right now. We'll get him on the show and we'll see what happens.
I don't think there's no indication that he's open to the idea of Middlesbrough. It's just that
what's Rob Edwards doing, by the way? Can I just briefly mention that?
He loves Wolves.
Wolves, right? But it's like this, like Paul Jewell, Derby County. Maybe he was thinking Ian Holloway, right? Ian Holloway's Blackpool, very entertaining in the Premier League, got relegated. Mm-hmm. He was like, when will I get back there? And he brought Crystal Palace up a few years later. Maybe Edwards was a bit spooked, like, I'm not going to manage the Premier League again. I'll take this job now. Now, if he keeps them up, the Great Escape and all that already.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah,
but I look, obviously there's better money and there's like a massive windfall if he keeps them up. And also, you don't get blamed if they go down. It's one of the worst starts that anybody's ever had to a Premier League season, so no one expects him to stay up.
Yeah, but you're associated with the relegation, which is unfortunately how football sees it, because that's my point about Paul Jewell. He had a decent enough reputation going to Derby. He did. I mean, what he did with Wigan, it's pretty impressive.
Okay. Do we want to just very briefly chat on Alan Connolly?
Yeah.
Alan Connolly was doing media to, I think, the club have a car raffle going. And Alan Connolly dutifully showed up for media and talked in depth about the aftermath of the All-Ireland Hurling Final, says that actually they thought that Tip might play a sweeper, that it wasn't anything to do with tactics that did for Cork. It was the ravenous hunger and the tackling from Tipperary that did for Cork in the second half of the All-Ireland in particular. Did you read that?
No, I haven't read it. No.
Are you refusing to read it?
No, I'm fairly open to discussing all what happened. No problem.
Are you?
I know you enjoy it, Ger. Whatever makes you happy, buddy, I'm here for it.
So you're clearly not then. There's like, see the passive aggressive.
I'm not at all, sir. That is projecting on your part. I'm open to this conversation.
It's one of the great mysteries in Irish sporting history, isn't it, though?
Absolutely.
What happened?
Yeah.
And you'll hear so many different perspectives years to come.
Like. I was sitting there, we all were, with 20 minutes to go, knowing what was going to happen. Yeah. And you're just sitting there, just watching a game. Joylessly, without emotion, yeah. But
no emotion. It was like you were dropped in a vat of.
Well, when you express the ultimate emotion, what happened afterwards? There's nothing like left.
A lobster.
Go back to the tank analogy. It was empty. It was empty. What would you like to talk about in relation to?
I don't have the examiner there in front of me, but I thought it was interesting that they had in their heads that there was a possibility Tip were going to play a sweeper, which I haven't heard anybody say that yet, and then. Obviously laughing off, literally said we had to laugh off the stuff about what happened at half time. And I think everybody should have come out and said, no, this isn't true straight away. I think they would all, if they had the time again.
Yeah,
John Mitre said that as well. He said Pat Ryan should have come out straight away and said, by the way, none of that's true. But then he's like, we're not going to verbalise any of these nonsensical rumours to give them any airspace. But it got to a point
that's
where...
That's not how life works.
It got so to big. A point where it became so overbearing and then people put two and two together. Witnessed the second half performance and said, well, there has to be an element of truth to that.
And look, maybe there are fault lines along club lines within the squad that need to be fixed. And that's where that's coming from. That actually the way it manifested is on the pitch, not in the dressing room with a fight. But people are inventing stories around it based on something that might be, I don't know. Something weird happened to that team in that game. It's all down to desire. Like, why were Cork outfought by Tipperary in an All-Ireland final after having experienced the heartbreak so often? Potentially, you would say it's unity of purpose and everybody understanding what their roles are. Maybe Tipperary is a way better team than we give them credit for, and that's the birth of a team.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe
I think
it's
that's,
a one-off. I don't know.
I think that's why people are still talking about it months later.
Yeah.
Not be funny, like yourself, like who would have no skin in the game there with Cork and Tip. And people are enthralled by it because up till half time, literally half time, save for a poor enough performance in the first half being 6 points ahead, it was all fine.
After Waterford went out last year, Peter Queeley made the point that, like, look, this is kind of ridiculous. We're out of the championship now. It's still June. We've played in a lot of close games.
Yeah.
Connolly was asked about this and whether or not there should be a fourth Munster team getting through.
Yeah.
So right now the format sees three teams from Leinster, three from Munster and two from the Joe McDonagh Cup qualify for the knockout stage of the All-Ireland Championship. Connolly believes it's time for Croke Park to tinker with the structure. I think it's fair enough if a fourth team from Munster came into it. We've the hardest group to get out of. Two teams are hard done by there. They're finished by June. What do you think?
Yeah, certainly the second of those two teams is very hard done by, yeah. whatever about the team that finishes bottom. But the next one up is oftentimes they play well enough. And it's
who are you knocking out?
I don't know. I mean, Waterford have proven that they cannot adapt to the round robin. But I'd still like to see Waterford through. Like, it's not a bad side, you know. As things stand, the 2026 Championship will see the preliminary All-Ireland quarterfinal remain, but changes mooted in the near future, which would allow the hurling calendar to breathe more.
Yeah, I think that change is like not punishing the team who wins John McDonagh with a punishment beating in a game the next week. But all right, well, look, we'll come back to this. You can give us your thoughts. 0879-180-180 is the WhatsApp number. I don't know, do we have the WhatsApp phone with us? Did we bring that from the studio? Oh, we do, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you can get us on WhatsApp. You can also get it at youtube.com/offthewall. These are our temporary digs, by the way, everybody giving out. Like, oh, I don't like the new studio.
There's a nice blue hue to it.
I'm just
looking at it here. It's very pleasant. I'd say it's relaxing in the morning.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's relaxing. Yeah. Not all your space, Ger. It's quite nice here.
And I've been the commenters, not me. I like it.
Do you like it? Yeah, I like to see this red light that's coming off behind us.
A little bit change,
quite nice.
Yeah, uplighting. That's the way of the future for all of us.
Shop Wayfair now, month long big deals. Yeah, these are steals. 70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out this song. Best in decor, Black Friday sports,
garlands and trees.
Saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses too, sheets that are new. Everything home, these things in chrome. Hands of the clock, area roads. Fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is home.
Win the season, win the season.